Thank you so much. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew in the 8th chapter. While you're turning, as you came in on the seats, you found something that looks a whole lot like this, maybe not in this color, but just like this. This is an outreach prospect card. We're in the process of reaching out. We should be reaching out all the time. We need your help. You know people that are unchurched. You know people that don't know Jesus, and we need to know who you know. If you know someone who needs to be contacted, needs to be shared with, if you would fill out the card, please, and just place it in the buckets as you leave where you would place your offering, and I encourage you to do that. Then if there's other information you need to give us, write that on the back, okay? And please do that. You will help us out greatly. Matthew, the 8th chapter, beginning in the beginning. When he, that is Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I would that you would take your word. I pray, God, that you would teach us of how you can cleanse us. And Father, I pray that it would be a truth to us that we would share with others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you have been with us as we studied the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, the greatest sermon ever preached. At the beginning of the New Testament, you find four Gospels. You know them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some people believe these are supposed to be biographies of Jesus. That's not what they are at all. They are carefully chosen segments of Jesus's time walking on the earth as a way to tell you who he is, what he came for, and what he can do. To draw people to the truth of Jesus. Matthew presents Jesus, the Messiah, the one that was prophesied of old, the one that was told was coming from the beginning. This is the same Jesus. He tells us in the first four chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, we get the person of the king. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. We hear about his virgin birth. We hear about his baptism. Hear about the temptation in the wilderness and how he was victorious there. And then he preaches. Oh, what a message. In chapters 5, 6, and 7, the plan of the king. There we have the laying out of the Sermon on the Mount. And now coming down, we find ourselves in chapters 8 through 9, which is the power of the king. Matthew tells us a series of events that proves that what he has said has impact and needs to be attended to. And he gives that to us in these passages, telling us of miracles that Jesus did. In verses 16 and 17 of this chapter, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed of demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Isaiah, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." The prophecy said when the Messiah came, he would perform miracles, he would heal souls, he would do great things, and Jesus does those things, proving he is exactly who he says he is. In Matthew, we are given some miracles that Jesus performed in chapters 8 and chapters 9, and they show us that Jesus can do amazing things in the physical realm. He can do amazing things in your life now. But that's just a That's just a pinch of what he can do in the spiritual realm. Oh, what Jesus can do for you and for me. And so these actions that Matthew tells us about, they're still sermons, but they're sermons in action. They're sermons lived out. It is the power of God touching the needs of mankind. And he begins with the story of a leper, a man that has a disease. At that time, there was no known cure, there was no way to help him. Only the power of Jesus could come to bear. Only Jesus could meet this particular need. And so in this text, we see the condition of the leper. Leprosy is a disease you don't want. Leprosy is a terrible physical illness, and this man had it. In verse 1, it says, when Jesus came down from the mountain. Now, Jesus was up on the hillside, and he came down to where the people were. You can't stay on the mountaintop all the time. There are mountaintop experiences that we have. There are mountaintop experiences we have in life. There are mountaintop experiences we have with our Lord. And sometimes you have to come down from the mountain and deal with everyday things. There are mountaintop experiences that you will face if you know Jesus. He lifts us up. In verse 1, it says great multitudes were following him. When people think of Jesus, they think of Jesus and 12 and no more. That was not the case. Most of the time in Jesus' active ministry, people were all around him. They were trying to get to him. They wanted to know him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. Now, the religious leaders did not want that. The religious leaders of the day saw Jesus as taking away from them, not adding to them. The religious leaders of the day were shunning Jesus. And throughout history, there have been people that have tried to push Jesus away. Today in 2023 in America, the world is trying to push Jesus away. They're trying to downplay anybody that believes the Bible, anybody that would believe in Jesus. They're trying to downplay us, and they're trying to push away what we think. They're trying to push away what we believe, and they're trying to say that Jesus doesn't matter. But you know, isn't it funny? Let something happen, and something is happening all the time, and they want us to pray. Well, who do they want us to pray to? Apparently, Jesus does matter. He matters to us. He matters to them. And I hope they come to know that. Only the power of Jesus can deal with this man's need. And let me tell you, only the power of Jesus can deal with your need. And so we have this man that has this disease. Jesus ministered to people where they were. He ministered to the crowds in a crowd, but he ministered to individuals. The leper had heard of Jesus. He was close enough to hear some of the Sermon on the Mount. And now he wants to present himself to Jesus. But think of his condition. As he approached Jesus, he would have to yell out, unclean. And this was no small thing. If you had this disease, it was the law. You would have to say, you saw anybody coming. It's like turning on your high beams, you know, and having to dim them when you see somebody coming. He sees somebody's coming, he's got to say, unclean! Unclean! You know, people hated lepers. They didn't want to get close to lepers. You know how they measured the distance a leper was supposed to stay away? They would throw a stone at them. They needed to be a stone's throw away. No closer. Unclean! Can you imagine the humiliation? What if you had to go through life, any embarrassing thing you had about yourself, any physical malady, you had to yell it out as people were coming at you? Oh my goodness, how difficult it is to be a teenager, to deal with teenagers' woes. Can you imagine going into school? Acne! Oh my. The embarrassment of it all. Bad breath. We might keep that one. But, you know, how hard it would be. And so he would shout that out, but he wanted to get close to Jesus. He wanted to talk to Jesus. Leprosy is a picture of what sin can do. By the way, that's why I believe this is where it is. Jesus has been telling the Word of God. He's been telling the way of God, how to live for God. And now he comes down and he deals with the disease that most closely shows sin. And Jesus came to heal us from sin. He came to save us from our own sinfulness. And so this man had this disease, and some of the symptoms of the disease are fatigue. You just start getting tired. How about you? Tired? You would notice pain in your joints. Uh-oh. Hurts when you get up, hurts when you get down, hurts when you move. Small white spots would show up. Yeah, I see you looking at your hands. Small white spots would show up. Nodules would come under those spots, and they would harden, and then they would grow, and then they would rupture, and pus would come out with a foul odor. Your eyebrows would fall out. Your hair would fall out. Pain would cover you for a period of time, and you couldn't get away from it. Where you walked, you would leave wet patches with your feet. Oh, my. What a disease. Your body would then go numb. You wouldn't be able to feel things. And in fact, it would be so bad that a leper could step on a nail and not even know that they had stepped on a nail. They could put their hand in a fire and not know that they had put their hand into a fire until they saw their flesh burning. Your fingers would fall off and recede. Your toes would do the same. Your nose, people used to say your nose would fall off. It doesn't fall off. It shrinks back up into your head. And so there's a hollow hole where your nose would be. Some people call it a lion's disease because your face takes on a characteristic of a lion. Your face draws up. Your ears get bigger and swell. Just a terrible thing. A leper might not know they have leprosy. It was dormant for a period of time. It could be dormant from 4 to 8 years before it even showed up. You know, leprosy has been a horrible disease for a long, long time. First time we see leprosy in the Bible, it was with Miriam. Remember Miriam? Miriam was Moses' sister. How did she get leprosy? God allowed her to have it. Why did he allow her to have it? Because she was critical of her brother. Treat your brothers and sisters nice. So Miriam got leprosy. Now God healed her of that later, but Miriam had leprosy. We find other notable people in the Bible that had leprosy. Leprosy is still around today. In fact, 200,000 people worldwide get leprosy every year. Leprosy has had a surge in the United States. Yeah, right here. You know, leprosy has been spotted in Louisiana and in Texas. The climates are just ripe for it. And so there's some cases of leprosy in those places. Not a huge amount, and yet it is there. About 200 people a year are added to the leprosy world every year in the United States, but there have been reports that it's growing. In fact, this year, 2023, there was a leprosy breakout in California. There was a leprosy breakout recently. In fact, it was very alarming. And that breakout was in Middle Florida. Anybody been to Middle Florida lately? You know, Mickey Mouse, Universal Studios, leprosy. In fact, would it surprise you to know that right here in Muskogee County, there were 10 cases of leprosy reported last month? It didn't happen, but it would surprise me to know that. You probably are not going to get leprosy, but it's still active. It is still a vile disease. It has not been curable until 1981. Some antibiotics were found that could actually cure leprosy. But that was certainly not the case in Jesus' day. There were rules for lepers. Couldn't sit on a rock. Couldn't drink from a stream. Couldn't go to gatherings of people. It's the picture of what sin does to a life. You know, the devil paints sin as something that's attractive, and it is, and it pulls us in, and it does. That's what sin does. But the devil paints sin as something that will always be fun and always be good for you and always be great, and it's not. Sin starts out small. Leprosy would start out small. Little white spot. Well, sin starts out small. Think about King David. His sin started out small. What did he do? He wanted to stay in bed. He stayed in bed when he was supposed to be leading his army. Doesn't sound like a big deal, was it? It was a big deal to God. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. Because he was not where he was supposed to be, he ended up seeing something he shouldn't see. When you're where you're not supposed to be, you end up in trouble doing things you shouldn't do. And that's exactly what happened to David. It didn't seem like a big deal. It may not seem like a big deal when you want to sleep in instead of coming to Sunday school. But it could be a big deal. So here we have David. He stayed where he wasn't supposed to stay. He did what he wasn't supposed to do. He saw what he wasn't supposed to see. He ended up lusting. He ended up in adultery. He ended up lying. He ended up murdering. Now, David didn't wake up one day saying, I'm going to go murder somebody. It came on gradually. That's what sin does. Oh, you tell a little lie and then you cheat on a test, and later on you cheat on your taxes, and later on you embezzle from your company, and you get found out and you lose it all. Or there's a little flirtation. It won't hurt anything, just a little flirtation. Then you start texting, just a little texting back and forth. It's okay. Then there's secret meetings, and then there's affair, and you lose your marriage and you lose your home. Or it's just a social drink everybody's drinking. It's not going to hurt anything. Just a beer, it'll be fine. Just a little drink. And then, well, I need something to help me sleep. Just a little something to help me sleep. Then, you got to get going in the morning. It's hard to get going. Well, it's a little something to keep me going. Before you know it, you're drinking at work or you're drinking at school. And then you've got a habit, and you're drinking, and you're driving, and you get in an accident, and you kill yourself, or you kill someone else, or both. It's just a little drink. You see, sin starts out really small, and then you end up doing something you never thought you would do. That's how sin works. That's how leprosy works. Leprosy is deeper on the inside than it is on the outside. Sin is too. Leprosy will take your family. Leprosy will take your friends. Leprosy will take your purpose. Sin separates you. Sin takes all from you, and it will take your purpose. In that day, you had to have God's power to cure it. That was the only thing that would. It was a slow death sentence. 8 years. 8 years was pretty much the outer realms, sometimes 9 years, 8 or 9 years. Sometimes it wouldn't show up for 4 years, and then you only had a short time after that. Sometimes it wouldn't show up and it wouldn't break out until 8 years. And then you would have a very small time. This man hears about Jesus. He believes Jesus is God. He believes Jesus is the Messiah. He comes to him with purpose, believing Jesus can do something about his leprosy. No doctor can do anything about it. No friend can do anything about it. He believes Jesus can. And listen to what he says. He says, "If you will, you can make me clean." He didn't say, "If you can, you will make me clean." That's very important. If you will. You see, the leper did not doubt at all that Jesus had the power to heal him. He just wasn't really sure that Jesus would want to. Nobody wanted to be around a leper. No one wanted to deal with the vileness of his life. How could Jesus? If you will, you can make me clean. Well, you know, you get in your sin and you wake up one day and realize how bad it is and how horrible it is and the horrors of my sin. You don't want anybody to know those things, and you never knew that you would be in this situation. You didn't know that your sins would be so bad. You didn't know that you would be so horrible. And you think, no one would want to come close to me. No one would want to have anything to do with me. Jesus does. And so we see the condition of the leper. Let's look at the compassion of the Lord. Jesus puts forth his hand and touches him. Wow. Listen, blind people came to Jesus and they got their sight. Deaf people came to Jesus and they became hearing. Lame people were approached by Jesus and they were able to walk. Jesus touched this leper. We just came through COVID. You know, we came through COVID. Everybody's wearing a mask. Somebody said they had COVID and whoa. You know, immediately wanted to step back. Immediately wanted to get your distance. Immediately wanted to run and hide. How would you feel if a leper showed up? Stuck out their nubby hand. Shake. Oh, you wouldn't even fist bump that. Jesus touches him. Jesus has compassion for him. This man had had no human contact, had nobody touch him. He had been cut off from his family. He had been cut off from others. He couldn't go to church. He was banned from such places. And the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion toward him. Jesus loves us. Now, I don't know what you've done. You don't have to tell me. I'll be perfectly happy with that. I don't know how bad you've been. And you don't know how bad I've been. And you know, it may be that if you really knew me, you wouldn't want to be around me. You might not want to be around me anyway. But Jesus does. Jesus cares so much. He wants to reach across our broken lives and he wants to touch us and he wants to bring us new life. Jesus was moved in his heart. Have you ever been moved in your heart? Just drawn to someone and drawn to care for somebody? Notice, Jesus did not cure him, then touch him. Jesus touched him, then cured him. He reaches out to you just like you are. You're a sinner. You come to Jesus. He reaches out to you as a sinner. We sing that song, "Just As I Am," without one plea. Just like, listen, I couldn't come to Jesus any better than I am because I'm not better than I am. I'm just me. And so full of leprosy. The Bible says he was full of, he didn't just have a little bit, he had a lot, full of leprosy. That means possibly he was in his eighth year. Possibly he was at the end. And Jesus is going to have to make a decision. What's going to happen? Oh, there's a pregnant pause here. What's going to happen? Jesus says, I am willing. I am willing to be cleansed. By the way, this is another way this is like sin. You notice he didn't say, be cured. He says, be cleansed. Sin is a filth that has to be cleansed. It's a stain that you cannot hide. It has to be cleansed. The word that's used for cleansed is a very specific word. It means to clean completely. We get the word cathartic from that word. It is to help us, to help us completely. And Jesus reaches out and he is willing to cleanse you completely. You know, for believers sin. And when we get sin, it's a stain on our lives. It's a stain on our testimony. And what does God tell the believer? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And remember what it says? And to cleanse us. You know what? It's the same word used here to cleanse the leper from all iniquity. Jesus is willing to come to a sinner and to cleanse us from our sin, just as he was willing to come to this leper and cleanse this leper. He is willing to save you, but you must be willing to be saved. It's not God's will that's in question, it's your will. If you want to be better, if you want to be forgiven, if you want to have hope, if you want to have peace, if you want to go to heaven, it's your will. You reach out to God and you find a loving, compassionate God, one who is willing to go to a cross for you, to die for you, to be buried for you, to rise for you. You find that Jesus, and he will save your soul. Jesus says, I will be you clean. It's four short verses. All this happens really quick. I will, you're clean. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Wouldn't you like to have been there at that spot? I know you'd have been looking from a stone's throw away because you're not going to get close to that leper. But Jesus is right up there next to him. I will be you clean. And all the leprosy leaves and all the damage is repaired. And his nose comes back into place. And his face begins to look human again. And his fingers grow back. And he's cleansed completely as if the leprosy had never been there. Oh, what power Jesus has, if you're willing. And then we see the comprehension of the law. Jesus tells the leper, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Isn't that something? He told the leper not to tell anybody. And you know what the leper did? He told everybody. He tells us to tell everybody, and who have you told? You know, we need to tell everybody. We need to have that same drive within us. And so in Leviticus 14, it gives us the law of the leper. When a leper is cleansed, he is to go to the priest. Now, the priest was kind of like the community health warden. The priest was the one that took care of God's laws and took care of saying, hey, this guy's a leper, stay away from him, or this guy's been cleansed of leprosy, he's okay. And they had to go through this process with the priest to declare an individual okay from leprosy. And so the leper would go to the priest. The priest would meet with them outside the city. Why outside the city? Because nobody wanted the leper inside the city. The priest would have to come out to the leper. By the way, Jesus had to come to us. We couldn't get to him. And so the priest would come out to the leper. Now the leper would have offerings. He would have two birds. And he would have two birds. He would have some cedar, hyssop, and scarlet thread. He would have all these things. And one bird they would take, and they would kill the bird. An innocent bird would die, and then they would cut its throat, and they would bleed the bird into a vessel. Then they would make out of the what they have there and the thread and everything, they would make a little brush. And they would use the blood of the innocent bird to paint the other bird. Now, I know that sounds weird, but it is the law of the leper and the law of cleansing, and there was a reason for it. Then that bird painted would be taken to an open field and released, and it would fly away as a symbol that the leprosy had left this individual altogether. The bird that died, the innocent bird, is a symbol of Jesus' death on the cross for our sins. The blood shed, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. That's what the Bible says. And so it pointed that very clearly. The blood that cleansed the sin was painted on the bird, on the other bird, and it flew away. Jesus' blood takes your sins away. And it flew away not to be seen anymore. Now, you know the most surprised person in this whole exchange? The priest. I bet he had to go read up on this, because it's something he had never done. Lepers didn't get well. Lepers weren't cleaned. Cleansed. And so he had to go and study up on this when it was reported that a leper was at the gate waiting for him. And he went down, and indeed, this man didn't look like he had leprosy. This man looked like everybody else. He looked well because he was well. And so they went through the ceremony to tell the world that Jesus saves. That's what Jesus did for the leper. He not only was good at talking on the mountain, he was good at changing lives off the mountain. And he's good at changing lives today. My friend, if you have sin in your life, you know that you're a sinner. And by the way, if you don't know it, you are. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's me and that is you. Today is the day to come to salvation. Today is the day to come to Jesus. He is the only one that can forgive you, the only one that can take your sin away, the only one that can restore you to life and hope and heaven. And so if you've never surrendered to Jesus, I challenge you, do it now. Just walk down an aisle. Say, I want Jesus. It's not the walking down. It's not even your words. It's your heart believing who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. But he has told us to come publicly, and so you fulfill that in coming. And publicly we declare that we'll pray together, and Jesus will save your soul, and we will declare to the world that Jesus saves, and he saved you. Now, you're a believer, and yeah, you're a Christian, but you've messed up. And you know what? Join the club. We all mess up. And you've been living away from God and out of God's care and out of God's will, and it's time to get back into God's will. You may say, well, I've not been that bad. How bad do you have to be when you jump off a cliff? How much out up from the cliff do you have to go before you fall? Just one step is all it takes. You know, one step away from Jesus is out of his power. It doesn't mean that you're lost. If you're saved, his blood saves you for all time. But it means you're not in his will, and you need to get back in his will. You need to use 1 John 1:9. You need to confess your sins, not to me. You need to confess them to Jesus. Let him cleanse you of your sin. and he will take them and wash you white as snow. Believer, that's here for you today. You can come to the altar and kneel. Just talk to Jesus. He will forgive. He will restore. And he will bless. So there's a decision for you to make. If you've never come to Jesus, never received Jesus, he's not in your heart, he's not your Savior, you're not going to heaven when you die. Listen, come to Jesus. You know him. You know him, but you've gotten away from him. Come to Jesus. Come just kneel at the altar. Let God do a work in your heart right now. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Father, that you were willing to heal the leper and you are willing to heal sinners even like me. I pray now, Father, for individuals in this room that have never met Jesus, that this would be the moment. I pray, Father, for those listening online that don't know Jesus, that this would be the moment that they would be willing, Father, in the room to come forward and say, I want Jesus. And Father, wherever they are, that they would be willing to turn to you and turn from their sins and turn to you and ask you to come into their heart and to save their soul. Father, I thank you that you are willing. I pray for believers, Father, that we would get the sin out, that we would confess our sins to you and allow you to cleanse us, to forgive us, and to use us. Move within us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, you come.